Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to our second reading, our Old Testament reading from the fourth chapter of 1 Chronicles. Some of you will remember the old-fashioned way that people told you, here's how you learn to talk, you put marbles in your mouth. Remember that? Yeah, we don't need to put marbles in our mouth. All we need to do is read the first few chapters of Chronicles. That will help us to learn diction, right? Okay, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. The sons of Judah, Perez, Hezron, and Carmi, and Hur, and Shobal. And Reiah, the son of Shobal, begat Jahat, and Jahat begat Ahumai, and Lahad. These are the families of the Zorathites. And these were the father of Etam, Jezreel, and Ishma, and Idbash, and the name of their sister was Hazalel-poni. And Penuel, the father of Gedor, and Ezer, the father of Husha. These are the sons of Hur, the firstborn of Ephrathah, the father of Bethlehem. And Asher, the father of Tekoa, had two wives, Helah and Naara. And Naara bare him Ahuzam, and Hefer, and Temeni, and Ha'ashtari. These were the sons of Naara. And the sons of Helah were Zeret, and Jezoar, and Ethnan. And Koz begat Anub, and Zobeha, and the families of Aharel, the son of Harum. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. And Kelub, the brother of Shua, begat Mehir, which was the father of Eshton. And Eshton begat Bethrapha, and Pasea, and Tehina, the father of Irnahash. These are the men of Rechab. And the sons of Kenaz, Othniel, and Seraiah, and the sons of Othniel, Hattath. And Maonathai begat Ophrah, and Seraiah begat Joab, the father of the valley of Karashim, for they were craftsmen. And the sons of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Iru, Elah, and Naam, and the sons of Elah, even Kenaz. And the sons of Jehalalel, Ziph, and Ziphah, Tiriah, and Asareel. And the sons of Ezra were Jether, and Mered, and Epher, and Jalon, and Sheber, Miriam, and Shammai, and Ishba, the father of Eshtemoah. And his wife Jehudijah bare Jared, the father of Gedor, and Heber, the father of Soko, and Jekuthiel, the father of Zanoah. And these are the sons of Bithiah, the daughter of Pharaoh, which Mered took. And the sons of his wife, Hodiah, the sister of Naham, the father of Kelah, the Garmite, and Eshtemoah, the Maakathite. And the sons of Shimeon were Ammon, and Rina, Ben-Hanan, and Telon. And the sons of Ishi were Zohet and Ben-Zohet. And the sons of Shelah, the son of Judah, were the father of Lekah, and Laada, the father of Mareshah, and the families of the house of them that wrought fine linen of the house of Ashbeah. And Jochim, and the men of Kozeba, and Joash, and Saraph, who had the dominion in Moab, and Jashubilehem, and these are ancient things. These were the potters, and those that dwelt among the plants and hedges. There they dwelt with the king for his work. The sons of Simeon were Nemuel and Jamin Jarib, Zerah, and Shaul. Shalum his son, Mibsam his son, Mishma his son. And the sons of Mishma, Hamuel his son, Zakur his son, Shimei his son. And Shimei had 16 sons and 6 daughters, but his brethren had not many children, neither did all their family multiply like to the children of Judah. And they dwelt at Beersheba, and Moladah, and Hazar Shual, and at Bilhah, and at Ezem, and at Tolad, and at Bethuel, and at Hormah, and at Ziklag, and at Beth Markaboth, and Hazar Susim, and at Beth Birei, at Sha'arayim. These were their cities unto the reign of David. And their villages were Etam, and Ayin, Rimmon, and Token, Ashan, 5 cities. And all their villages that were round about the same cities unto Baal. These were their habitations and their genealogy. And Meshobab, and Jamlech, and Josha, the son of Amaziah, and Joel, and Jehu, the son of Josabiah, the son of Seraiah, the son of Asiel, and Elioenai, and Jaakobah, and Jeshohiah, and Asaiah, and Adiel, and Jesmiel, or Jesimiel, and Benaiah, and Ziza, the son of Shephi, the son of Alan, the son of Jediah, the son of Shimri, the son of Shemaiah. These, mentioned by their names, were princes in their families, and the house of their fathers increased greatly. And they went to the entrance of Gedor, even unto the east side of the valley, to seek pasture for their flocks. And they found fat pasture and good, and the land was wide and quiet and peaceable, for they of Ham had dwelt there of old. And these written by name came in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and smote their tents and the habitations that were found there, and destroyed them utterly unto this day, and dwelt in their rooms, because there was pasture there for their flocks. And some of them, even the sons of Simeon, 500 men, went to Mount Seir, having for their captains Pelatiah and Neriah and Rephiah and Uziel, the sons of Ishi. And they smote the rest of the Amalekites that were escaped and dwelt there unto this day. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. All right, so there are a lot of names here. Many of these names we know very little of. They are genealogical records. We'll remember from that as well that the Apostle Paul in the New Testament will speak to certain teachers through his evangelists Timothy and Titus, who want to teach about what? Endless genealogies, right? Because they are still stuck in the mode of where do we belong because we're the blood children of Abraham. Instead of understanding that in the days of the gospel, such distinctions are brought down, and the gospel is indeed a universal religion to be preached to every kindred, tribe, and tongue. So, these genealogies are here because they are extremely useful to the people as they come back into the land and settle it. Judah will need to know where to settle. What land is my tract of land? What land has God given me that he is restoring me now after the exile and now during the restoration? And so we have several places that are put before us here. First of all, we see Zorah to the west of Jerusalem, Elam to the south of Jerusalem, and Bethlehem, Jezreel, which is further south, Ephrathah, which is Bethlehem, and Tekoa to the south of Bethlehem, and Etam. And so the Judahites are told what their tract of land is and where they need to spread out to. These were the lands of your fathers before you. And so, seeing that God has promised by way of typology that land of Canaan as a land that flows with milk and honey, a type of heaven, and seeing that Messiah has not yet come and put those distinctions down, when you return to the land, it is still proper that you dwell in Judahite territory. And so they are given what that territory ought to look like by way of where their fathers lived before them. And so that's what we see here. Then we come to the mention of this young man named Jabez. The name Jabez, some of you will know that the psalm tune that we use for Psalm 79 is named Jabez. Jabez of itself in the Hebrew language means sorrow. The lady who gave birth to him, I don't remember her name right now, but she called him Jabez because she gave birth to him in sorrow. This seems like more than the regular sorrow that God had prophesied, you know, to Eve at the fall. Not just the multiplication of sorrow and labor, but this seems to be more an acute condition. And here is a young man that is born in the midst of some kind of great affliction and sorrow on behalf of his family. Okay. Well, does Jabez rest in that? He does not rest in the sorrow and if we might say foul providence that his family is currently suffering under, but instead he asks the Lord for blessing and enlargement, and notice that he receives that. He asked for a blessing in the place of sorrow or grief. He asked for enlargement. He asked for guidance. He asked for protection from evil and that he would not be grieved by it. And he received that for which he asked. So Jabez is an encouragement to us all. Now, it's been a little while, but it's still somewhat relevant in that a few years back, there was a guy from Dallas Theological Seminary that wrote a very superstitious book called The Prayer of Jabez. Some of you may have heard of it. And it was basically a turn the crank kind of book where if you just follow Jabez's example and have the same kind of faith as Jabez, you know, you can name and claim what Jabez did. Well, of course, we know that's silly. Yet, that Jabez set forth a good example here to be followed is indeed without doubt. All right, so now we come to a second tier of the family of the Judahites. And notice in this there is something that is more particularly noticed, and that is that there is a great blessing in industry and calling as long as such efforts are to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul in Colossians chapter 3 will tell the servants, Christian servants, that in their service to their masters, they serve Christ. They serve him. And so a lawful calling is a great blessing from the Lord. We hear about these artificers in pottery and in other sorts of labor. And so we are reminded that the Judahites seem to be a very industrious lot, especially the second group that is spoken of here. Of course, they were very successful as well in what we call Judah, the southern kingdom. So then, beyond that, we also note that in this genealogy, many of the mothers are mentioned, which is uncommon for a genealogy. So what we want to remember about these women is that for all accounts, and I think many scholars would agree, that they are mentioned because of their particular reputation and godliness. And so these women then, because of their mention, ought to be an example to us, that we should leave a name behind us that is to be honored, respected, that we are to leave a good reputation in our wake, as these ladies did. Okay, and so we want to remember that. And then also we want to see that we have the mention of Caleb and the Kenites here. Caleb and the Kenites. No, that's not a new rock band. It's Caleb, right, the son of Jephunneh, who was a Kenite by birth and yet was adopted into the inheritance of Judah and so had a mountain that was Mount Caleb that he conquered at 85 years of age, as we will remember. So they were accounted among the tribe of Judah, but notice that some of Caleb's offspring, those Kenites, were also judges. We think of men like Othniel, right, and beyond him. And then we're reminded of another group of artificers at the end of this who sought to build themselves a city like these Judahites. They were also artisans. They were the sons of Cain, but they did not build unto the Lord, did they? They built, as Cain went out to the east of Eden, they built what we might call Man City, right? Cain named it after one of his sons, Anosh, or Enoch. And that means, do you remember what Enoch or Anosh means? It means man, It's man's city. And what did they do? They made instruments and wine and arts and crafts and such things as are pleasing to men. We don't get that with the Judahites here. Their industry is for the advancement of the kingdom of God. And we must desire that our industry should be so as well. And then the final chapter, 24 through the end, we learn about the Simeonites. You know, Simeon and Levi were those two sons that lost their minds at Shechem and made use of the sacrament as an instrument of war. You'll remember that. And so the Lord said that they would be scattered. Well, notice that they were scattered, both of them. The Levites were scattered throughout the land that they might be the teachers in Israel. There's a blessing to Israel in their scattering. And it turns out that here in Simeon, there's a blessing to their scattering as well. Although not having a sure tract of land as their own, but taking out of the midst of Judah. That's why he is mentioned here with the Judahites. Notice what he does. Two things. So they end up at this place called Gedor. And at Gedor, they need a place for their flocks because the Lord has prospered them. And so they run the Hamites out of that portion. Now, when they run the Hamites out, we must understand what that truly means. They ran the Canaanites out. Remember that Canaan was the son of Ham, and that the Canaanites had moved into that land, and they were not supposed to make any sort of treaties with them. They were to utterly destroy them and take that land because Canaan was relegated to another part of the world, but Canaan was a usurper that came into the land that God promised Abraham. Okay? So that first. But secondly, notice also that there was another set of Hamites or Canaanites that they ran out that had gone over to Mount Seir. They went over to Mount Seir and took care of the remnant of the Amalekites as well. So not only were the Levites blessed and they're spreading about throughout the land, but the Simeonites were also blessed through their spreading about throughout the land as well. So although the Lord scattered them, it was not unto their destruction, but it was unto their being a blessing to the rest of the tribes of Judah and Israel. Thus ends the reading then of 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Let's